capital letters, have a stripper pole in this house.
27 feet.
Yeah, 30.
So we're seeing a 27-foot drop.
So we just wanted to ask you...
Excuse me, this is a senator-only elevator.
I'm not satisfied. The solution that he found...
You know how many people buy guns and dip?
You blew it!
World famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we take you on an Alice in Wonderland trip through the old looking glass, baby. Media, news, issues, the way you think of things, the way you don't think of things. Shutter Island is number one at the box office again. Woo! I guess. Plus, Pelosi says the health care bill is bipartisan, even though the Republicans won't vote for it, or didn't vote for it, or wouldn't vote for it, or will never, ever, ever vote for it. They had a big impact on it nonetheless. So in her mind, and probably it's not a bad estimation, good for you, Nancy, that it is bipartisan to a degree. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we have a story here that we're going to tell you a little bit about. We're also going to be talking with a man who has run up against the same thing in taking photographs in local public places, particularly in malls. His name is Art Griego. He's going to join us. He's a retired airline pilot. But in Sunderland, England, bizarre story, a father was told he was not allowed to take pictures of his four-year-old son. This is his own four-year-old son. And he was told, you are not allowed to take pictures of this child at this Sunderland shopping center because of fears he could be a pedophile. All right, now... It's your kid's your kid, right? Nonetheless, Kevin Schuen, who lives in Kent, was challenged by a security guard at the Bridges Shopping Center after photographing his son, Ben, on a child's train ride. He was asked if he could prove Ben was his son, and he was later quizzed by a police officer who was called to the center. Now, bosses at the shopping center have apologized to this man for the misunderstanding. But nonetheless, it was quite a, I'm sure, a bizarre and traumatic incident for the father. Mr. Schuen, he's 48 years of age, said he and his son had visited the shopping center after Ben was given money from his grandfather to buy a toy. His wife had suggested taking a picture of the son on the mobile phone camera after the train-obsessed youngster boarded the ride. The security guard then approached and told him it was against the center's policy. It was against the center's policy, and he could be a pedophile. It was the father. Mr. Schuen said that then the security guard said there was no way of, he said there was no way that I could prove that what I was doing was innocent because I couldn't actually prove that I was his father. I told him Ben was my own son and that he was blowing everything out of proportion. 5 or 10 minutes later, a police officer approached, asked for my name and address. I raised my voice as I was getting a little annoyed by this stage, and he threatened to arrest me for a breach of the peace, as they say in jolly old England. I could have understood if I'd been observed hanging about, but I had walked up with my wife and with my son. In a statement, the Bridges said safety was taken very seriously at all of its shopping centers. Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you're a photographer. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, you know something. Unfortunately, Phil, yes, I have. And it happens, not just in Great Britain. It happens here in the United States. I take pictures in shopping malls. I take pictures on beaches. I take pictures on sidewalks. You would be surprised at the number of police and the number of security guards. And these security guards, Phil, I know they do very good work and they're very hard workers. But I think some of these security guards think that they are, probably think they're the French Connection, Popeye Doyle or something.
They're imagine themselves to be cops, huh?
Oh, they do. They imagine themselves to be cops. Say, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? You know, and what's with all that camera equipment?
And all right, now you go places with you have a lot of pictures of your children.
I have a lot of pictures of kids, yeah, and I'll go to malls and take the pictures. I'll go to, as I said, any place where you've got a nice all-American setting, where you have a good background, where you've got good, obviously good lighting, although I do have some pretty sophisticated equipment.
Well, how many kids have you got?
How many kids? I didn't hear you, Phil.
How many children do you have? And do you say to cop or do you say to the security officers?
I don't have any kids. I don't have any children of my own.
You don't have any kids of your own?
No. But I do take pictures of kids, and that's what I was talking to you about. This man, this gentleman in England.
So you're not taking pictures of? So you're taking pictures of just kids? Are they nephews?
No, I don't have any nephews. I don't have any nieces or anything.
Do you have stepkids?
No. No, my interest is simply in children and photographing them. The reason, Phil, is because they are children don't pose. They're very natural. They're very candid. Whereas adults are extremely self-conscious. Kids are not. And I get great pictures, and I've got volumes of books, photo albums.
Why? But I guess the thing that I'm talking to you about here, Art, is that you you're not exactly like this father.
In the sense that was not my that he's a father.
Yeah, because this is a guy that had to explain to the. To the security guard that he was the father of this little boy that he was photographing.
Well, but it's really not that much different. They'll come up to me and they'll tell me, you got to leave the mall. And I'll say, why? I'm taking pictures here. They'll say, you know, are they your kids? And I said, well, in a sense, they are my kids. I have photo albums that go back 5, 6, 7 years of kids.
And let me ask you something, because maybe I didn't understand. You take pictures of children that are not yours?
No, they're not my kids by blood, no, but they are my kids. When he said, are you taking pictures of your kids? I said, yes. He said, well, you took pictures of a black kid, and then I saw you take pictures of I guess he said Chinese, he should have said Asian. And I told him, I said, that's the wrong way to refer to a young Asian child. You just said that was a Chinese child. And he tried to blow it off like it wasn't a big thing. So I took down his name and his badge number. And
No. But before you get to that, he asked you, were they your kids?
Yeah, he asked me if they were my kids. I said yes.
But they're not your kids.
No, they're not my blood kids, but in a way they are my kids.
But for the purposes of that security guard...
Well, for the purposes of what? A security guard that calls an Asian child a little Chinese kid? That your purpose? He's got no purpose in life. That's a guy that is one rubber bullet shy of being out on the street picking up rappers or something, you know. And so he said to me, I saw you taking pictures of a black kid, a Chinese kid, and then pictures of that Polish, whatever that is. And I said, how do you know he's Polish? So I was very upset.
No, but what the officer was saying to you, Art, if you just listen to me, was he didn't believe that they were your kids because they were of three different racial types.
Okay.
So we're not talking about your blood children, are we?
No, we're not.
Okay, that's what he was asking. Now, you're out at the mall taking pictures of these children. Are they the children of friends?
Let me explain something, Phil, because I think you're going to get... Let me explain something to you and to your listeners who probably don't get it. I go to malls, I go to amusement parks, wherever I want, and I take pictures of children. And I get them in the most candid shots. You know, a kid will be swinging on a monkey beam or monkey bar, I should say. Or they're dancing into the bathroom, you know, and you follow them in there with a camera. And what you're doing is you're just getting them in these candid shots, that's all.
Well, now, don't you think that a security guard has the right to ask you?
Wait. Why do you say, why am I different from this man? I know that that was his son. But
exactly. That was his son. You don't know these kids. Okay?
I'm not laying a hand on these kids. I don't know what it is you're inferring to. You're inferring to, or you're. I don't know what it is that you're referring.
You don't know what it is that I'm inferring or referring to.
Yeah, I don't know what it is that you're inferring or referring to, but I have not. I'm not putting my hands on them. All I'm doing is I'm taking their pictures. I don't know them. I don't want to know them.
But you've got, you say, volumes and volumes of photographs of children that you don't know, right?
That I don't. In what sense don't I know them? I feel I've looked at their pictures for years.
In the sense, Art, come on, in the sense that you have never met them, you don't know these children, it's not your son like this man.
You got me on your show to talk about these fascists that are running the security forces at these balls telling me what I get to take a picture of. And the same thing with this guy.
But I didn't know that you were taking pictures of children that are not your kids, that are strange strangers.
See, you call them strange, or this other guy says there's a Chinese one, but I'm the guy that gets locked out of the mall. How does that work?
I'm not trying to lock you out. I'll tell you what we'll do. Hold the line. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls for our guest here, Art Griego, as he's... we were talking about a father in Great Britain who was stopped by a security guard and told you can't take pictures of that little boy. Well, it was his own son. And eventually they worked it out. Art has been taking pictures of little kids for a long time. None of them are his kids. They're just strange kids. They're kids in the mall. And he was stopped by a security guard the other day and told that he had to stop and was thrown out of the mall for taking these pictures. He says he has, like, volumes of photo albums. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, welcome back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show on the line. We're talking with Art Griego, who is a photographer, a studio photographer, as well as a professional photographer. Although you made most of your money as a pilot, right, Art?
I did drill a commercial and charter flights, but retired. I went into photojournalism for a very small local paper here in Santa Monica, and then started doing studio photography, and now I just. You know, because I'm retired, I like to take pictures.
You're taking pictures of little kids?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's interesting. I just finally sort of got the gist of what it is you're inferring here. You know.
Well, look, I'm not inferring anything, Art. I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong.
Well, you're pretty much walking up to the line. You're trying to say that there's something odd about what I like to do. I'm not doing anything wrong. I just happen to like taking photographs of my kids and putting them in these albums.
You know, okay, so you have pictures. They're not your kids, you know.
I know they're not my kids, but I consider them my kids when they're on the... This is an artistic... And the more that I talk to you, I know the more of a fruit that I probably sound like. What I'm saying is this is something that I enjoy.
Well, what do you do with these albums?
With the photo albums?
Yeah.
I will look at them. I'll look at them.
You take the photo albums out?
Yes. And I thumb through them. I enjoy looking at my kids.
All right, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, I don't want you to go to a phone call or anything because you're leaving the impression that I sound like some kind of a creep. And I am not. This guy, the father in England, and I are the same guy.
Except you got thrown out of the mall, and he was allowed to continue. He was allowed to continue shopping with his son when they realized it was his son.
And what did I get thrown out of the mall for?
You said that you followed a kid into the bathroom with your camera.
I didn't follow him into the toilet. as I said, that kids, I said that kids are interesting to take pictures of candidly. Okay?
Right, but if you're following a kid into the bathroom with a camera, people are going to have some thoughts.
Okay, who's got the filthy mind now? Me or the grandmother that turned me in? Because that's who did it. There was an old woman about as nosy as they come.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's get a phone call here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is Bill in Houston, Texas. Bill, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, this guy, I work security, and just listening to this last comment that he made, that the grandmother was a nosy biddy. Now, my main question to this gentleman is, if he's collecting all these photos of children and he says that they're interesting to him, is he trying to sell them to his to the parents of the children, or is he just collecting them and saying, these are my children?
Well, Phil, I resent the implication here that this gentleman is like, I'm some kind of an oddball. You know,
no, what is the answer, though? You know,
I didn't say you were an oddball. You're the only one saying that you're an oddball.
You're saying you're collecting
these photos and you're studying them, but are you offering to sell these photos to the parents of the children that you're taking pictures of? That's my question.
Right, right.
I mean, if you're just collecting them for yourself and saying that I look at them in your Stephen King voice, well, that brings concern to me.
In my what? What does that mean?
Spooky.
Wait,
creepy.
I don't understand it. Well, sir, the only one with any creepy thoughts is you. You're a security guard. You're not, you know, Sherlock Holmes.
No,
I don't know what you
don't. You don't know.
What are your qualifications? What are your qualifications? You don't.
No, let me ask the question. Let me ask the question here. Do you go home with these pictures? Oh, do you try to sell them?
I'm going to sell them. You mean online to some pervert? No.
No, to the parents.
No, I don't sell them to the parents. I don't know who the parents are. I take them home. I put them in my photo albums. I look at them. The gentleman asked, do I study them? Let me say this. They're fully clothed. If I made money off my pictures, I feel like I was compromising my work and my integrity. I keep them in albums to look them over. You know, I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll go in for...
would be that you would find that child's parents and say, I took a photo of you. I think your child is interesting. You would turn it into an art instead of a personal collection that you're anonymous to the parent.
This is coming from a security guard? You're telling me what...
Oh, okay.
Well, that's a laugh.
That's the part where
that's
you don't understand. There are a lot of retired police officers that go into the security business to stay within that field. I mean, just because you say that security guard, you're going to slander security guards, but then it's like you don't want anyone to call you creepy, and what you're doing is basically, you're a stalker. You're a predator.
You're telling me what art is? You're telling me how to be an artist? And you're walking around with your flat feet? Now look,
don't insult this man. Don't insult the man, okay?
Oh, it's all right. It just goes to show that you're defensive for a reason. You feel in your own mind that there is something creepy and that you're doing, and that
you also understand the word creepy.
That what you're doing is not totally on the up and up. I mean, if you're not putting it out for the public to see, and you have your personal collection of kiddie photos, and you're putting them on the internet and selling them. You don't know who's out there.
I'm not putting them on the internet and selling them.
Even worse.
And you're the guy that called me creepy. I didn't say anything about that. You said I got a Stephen King voice, which I thought
you. If you're the one that's collecting something for your own personal collection, and then you come on the radio because you like the attention, okay, they're fully clothed. Okay. But who's to say what type of mind that you have when you're easily snapped on this? It's supposed to be an open dialogue.
You put your opinion out there,
but you don't want other people to express their opinion
right.
about how they feel.
Well,
about
I think,
it.
And let me just grab a moment here because I think you're making a good point, Bill. This is just a man expressing an opinion, and Art, you're being very defensive. When you say, I mean, don't you think it's legitimate for us to say, wow, you shouldn't be following a kid into the bathroom?
I told you that I'm an artist, and I take very candid shots. The kid was dancing into the toilet area, and he was unbuckling his pants.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. See,
I'm
there.
I'll follow you around
right
into
there.
The bathroom, and I'll just watch you until you, what, undo your zipper and say, okay, now I need to give you your privacy because I know what's going on. The mind
you work for Minneapolis PD? I guess so.
Oh, okay. What is that, some kind of a joke?
Well, that's what they do in Minneapolis, don't they? The cops walk around trying to get a guy to touch them.
What are you talking about?
What are you doing, then? Are you trying to get these kids to touch you? I mean, just like that comment that you're making.
You said you'd follow me into a bathroom and unbuckle my pants.
Would you like for someone to follow you into a restroom? That's what I said to you. If you're going to be this offensive and you want to argue your point, understand what...
Phil Hendry.
Phil, Art Griego with us. Art is a retired pilot. You know, this all started, this is a conversation, Art, about this father in Sunderland, England, who was stopped by a security guard and told to not take pictures of his own four-year-old son because the security guard thought that this father might be engaged in some sort of pedophilia. Now, this is a father with his own son.
That is my point. This is me with my kids.
No, but these aren't your kids. You're taking pictures of strange children.
They are. Every bit when the police questioned me at my home.
When did the police question you at your home?
I told you that when they told me to leave the mall, the police asked to come to my residence, and I was very happy to let them come to my residence. They wanted in, and I said, that wasn't part of what you wanted. And they said, no. I said, well, in that case, I can't let you in, because they wanted to take my children, if you will, and analyze them as if it was just meat hanging on a hook someplace. These are the children of this new millennium. And when I look at these children, I see the future of our country, and they would turn this into something filthy. They would turn this into something that is so reprehensible and vile that I wanted to assault this police officer, and I didn't, but I knew it was in his foul cop mind, these ideas.
And let's not insult our police, okay?
I knew it was in his mind.
But can I ask you a question?
Who's stopping you, Mr. Hendry? I've been insulted.
No, I don't want to insult you. I wanted to ask you, you're taking pictures of children that you don't know, right?
Yeah.
How do you choose which child you want to photograph?
Well, now you're getting into something that is very, what I call very personal and very sacred. You're asking me what? You're asking me...
I'm asking you just how do you choose which kid?
Now, that's very personal. That's sacred. Those are things that I don't think... You wouldn't ask anybody. You wouldn't have the temerity to ask anyone something as personal and as intrusive as that.
I'm simply asking you, sir.
That is a very sacred thing.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go on to a phone call here. Leo, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Leo, go ahead, sir.
Well, hello, Phil. I told you, screener, I said, this guy Art is a bit of a wacko. First of all, for not listening to what your story in England was all about. And then as I'm sitting here waiting to get on, I heard the story. Start talking about bathroom techniques. I mean, what the hell is that all about? I mean, it was just getting weirder and weirder. But, you know, there are hundreds of people that heard the story
about the father in England, and it's the same story that I have. My children are being pawed over by the local cops, and I said, don't touch my children. You see, Leo?
Yeah, they're pawed over by the cops?
Yeah, I had my albums with my children in them, and the cop says, who are these? I said, these are children that I've seen. And
right.
I said to me, are you some kind of a weirdo? And that's when I said, you know what, officer, I've never been in jail. Don't tempt me.
You didn't talk to the cop that way.
I most certainly did. And the cop said to me, I have to take this for evidence in case you're some kind of a sick, weird, you know, one of these guys that they get their, you know what I'm saying, right? And so they took my children.
Well, you know, Phil, there are hundreds of people languishing in jail right now.
They took my children from me.
The police have found all kinds of...
My name isn't Phil. My name is Phil. My name is Art.
On their computers.
My name is Art, and I don't have pictures
on... just having them on their computers.
You're absolutely right, Leo.
Well, let me ask this guy a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
Hey, Leo.
Yes.
Have you got anything on your computers? Yeah.
To the Golden Retrievers.
Yeah.
Does that make me a person of bestiality?
Golden Retriever, is that code for something?
No,
Golden
dogs.
Retrievers are my kids with fur, thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you don't think that that's weird, huh, collecting pictures of dogs? You think that's fine. I collect pictures of human beings. I'm weird. You got pictures of dogs, and everybody loves you.
Well,
these pictures
that
help me what?
But the thing
well,
is...
these pictures help me wind down. It helps me get to sleep at night.
What, the pictures of the kids?
Taking a very, very short step from what you're doing to pedophilia. It's a very short step,
Leo,
between just taking pictures of kids and saving them and preserving them and, you know, having album fulls of pictures of little kids that aren't your own. You know, I've got a lot of pictures of my grandchildren.
Okay. What's the difference?
Don't even go there.
Wait a minute. What is the difference? Wait a minute. He's got pictures of dogs and his grandkids, and everybody probably thinks that he's just the greatest thing since the second coming of Don Amici. And I'm a perv? Because what?
They're not your kids, because you never had kids.
You're one step away.
You're the guy that has a computer loaded with shots of Golden Retrievers, and you're not one step away? Damn.
No, because this guy, along with so many other Americans, breed dogs, they show dogs, okay?
Okay.
Well, when's the last time you heard about a kid show?
A what?
Do they have a kid show at Westminster?
You know
what? Ask about Acorn and their kid shows.
Both of you guys, you're calling me nuts? Here's a guy talking about Acorn having kid shows? All I wanted
to
do...
Yeah, well, you saw the video.
Look, not all of the kids I photograph are attractive, so it's not pedophilia. You can't call it pedophilia when a lot of these kids put me off with their looks.
Oh, you know, with everything you say, man...
No,
with everything you say, you dig it deeper and deeper and deeper. Look, Leo, thanks so much for your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ray. Ray, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Anything bad.
Everything you say, I'm very good. Thank you very much, sir. Everything you say, you're digging it deeper.
Well, listen, I got one thing I'd like to ask. You know, he was talking about his grandmother reported him following this child into the bathroom. First,
I think
she was on guard, and that's what she should have been doing, because I'd want somebody. I watch my surroundings for things like this just going on. And for another part of it, he can also ask the parents if it's okay to photograph their child. If he's not doing that, he's going beyond what he would call being an artist. I have done that.
I will ask them. Most of the time, they look at me like I'm a creep. And I feel that that's prejudicial and bigoted.
No, you are a creep. I mean, in America, we don't do that. I mean, we don't start into the bathroom and take pictures of kids in bathrooms.
Sure.
That's just not it.
No, it wasn't the bathroom. It wasn't that he was in a bathroom. It was that he was skipping. He skipped into the bathroom, and I thought it was an interesting move. So I, in order not to attract a lot of attention, I skipped behind it with the camera.
No wonder that woman called security.
Why? Because I'm taking a candid picture of a child. Boy, you know, don't you gentlemen realize how sick your minds are? And
the little boy is... Let me get... The little boy skipped into the bathroom, and so that you wouldn't attract attention, you skipped behind him.
Yes.
And then when did you... behind you, she should have had a daggone stick when you walked in there.
Well, you know, Grandma was doing a good job.
I give it a high five for Grandma. Hey, Phil, That's all I got.
You know, sir, I am trying very hard, you know, but if this isn't an episode of Hee Haw, you know, this woman is...
No, look, have some respect.
The lady, I looked around, and there was this old bag eyeballing me up and down. And I said to myself, you know, I know the look. I know the look from... It goes back it goes back centuries, really, in our culture. When you turn around and you look at some old woman with her nose squinched up and her eyeballs set together, and this is a look that goes back centuries. And I knew. I knew then and there that a piece of art was going to be befouled by another member of life's concentration camp guards. Hello?
You know something, man.
Oh, you really, man? What, man?
You know, you're over the top. It doesn't even begin to tell the story of a guy like you. Life's concentration camp guard. That old lady called that security guy because she saw you with a camera skipping behind a little kid into a bathroom. Frank in Iowa City, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
I get all kinds of insults, I'll tell you that.
Good, sir. Thank you for calling.
This guy, you're a professional photographer, so you can understand, you know, taking pictures of the kids, you know, if you're selling it for advertisement or anything else, you know, that's understandable. You know, catching kids in moments.
I'm not selling it. I'm too much of an artist to sell it. These are photographs
but that's what I'm saying. I mean, when you're doing this for your own personal thing and it's something that helps you go to sleep and you're following children in the bathroom, you know, you gotta realize you're stepping over the bounds there. You know, it's one thing to be an artist, but it's another thing to invade people's privacy. What you're doing here is not right.
No, I can ask the host. You've got me answering questions. These people are not professional psychologists.
No, but they are human beings. They're people who are out in the... You know something? Let me tell you something, Art. This world would be a better place if the average man, the average woman like Frank or people took more of an appreciation and a concern about our fellow men. If we look around ourselves and see stuff that's going on, he doesn't have to be a professional. He knows what behavior is threatening.
Oh, really? I'm skipping into the bathroom.
You're skipping into a bathroom behind a little kid?
That's common sense.
Are you going to tackle me because I'm skipping into the bathroom?
Who doesn't know that you shouldn't follow a child in the bathroom to take a picture of him? That's common sense.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you've never gone to a men's room behind a little kid?
We're not talking about that, man.
And not with the person to take a photograph. Come on. Think about it.
You know what?
Even if I sat around, you know, say I had kids and I sat around and I looked at pictures of them to help me go to sleep, and they're my children, that would be weird. Come on now.
That's weird.
You're taking pictures of other children and going and using that to help you go to sleep. Now, that's just not normal.
It relaxes me, okay?
Where do you keep these pictures?
I told you that is sacred.
Where you keep the pictures is sacred.
Oh, you don't make a joke out of that, too?
Mr. Griego, where...
It's just weird. Yeah. That's just weird.
The things I do are weird. The things I do, what do I do that's weird? What do I do that's weird, sir? What do I do? Okay, is it weirder than living
in
the
house? You have photographs of probably thousands of people's kids who you don't even know, and you keep them in your personal collection, and you sit there and you use them to help yourself through that night, in the middle of the night, or to go to bed, or to thumb through for your own personal
You guys are thinking what I think you're thinking. You guys are sick. Why are you guys racist against photographers? What?
Sir, we're the ones racist against here.
Why are
it's
you racist sense. Against photographers?
All right. It's got nothing to do with being racist. Frank, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. It's got nothing to do with being racist.
You know, I'm looking at Red Eye right now, and there's a priest on there. There's a priest on there with makeup, and he's talking, and everybody loves his ass. Excuse my language, but they do. And I'm on the hot seat here because I take pictures. And there's a priest, and Gutfield's giving him all kinds of love. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you don't get it, huh?
No, I don't get it. I don't get you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Art Griego and all these racists and bigots against photographers on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-877-8776. Phil, Art Griego on the line with us. Art, you've had a very distinguished career as a pilot. Going into photography, it sounds to me like suddenly, you know, your interest is all I'm trying to say. You know,
well, my interests are unhealthy, according to you.
I don't want to say your interests are unhealthy, Art. I think that when you say things like, you know, you don't want to tell me how you pick the kids out because it's sacred, I worry, you know.
Well, thanks very much, but you don't need to worry, okay?
No, but...
No, you don't need to worry, okay? Yeah, I do worry. I got a wife that can worry, and I've got a... What do you mean you worry?
It doesn't sound healthy. Let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Annette in Las Vegas. Go ahead, Annette.
Worry.
Yeah, this is where in California?
Yeah. Where are you, Art?
Yeah, I'm in Santa Monica.
Right.
Oh, I grew up in Santa Monica. Actually, and my
very
late
nice.
Husband. My late husband was an internationally known photojournalist. He's hung in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art. But here in Las Vegas,
hung? What did you say about her husband?
He has his work in the Metropolitan Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
I understand. Okay. The way you said it originally sounded.
Well,
no, she said her husband's work is. Yeah.
Is hung. That means it's displayed for public appreciation. I have over 5 million negatives that I sell out of. Our daughter is a famous architectural photographer. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm also a licensed master social work, and I investigate children who have been sexually molested. And you show every classical symptom of a pedophile. I would have to say that if I were making a clinical diagnosis, you are one. Now, pedophiles don't always...
Wait a minute. You got a husband that was in the museum, and your daughter is a this, and you're that. This is absolute slander. This is slander.
Excuse me, no.
And if I find out who you are, I will get those paintings or those pictures as the down payment on the money you'll owe me from a lawsuit.
Excuse me, no.
Wait a second.
I'm an expert witness. I'm sorry. I am protected
legally. How much does it cost to have you testify? I bet you it costs a pretty penny, doesn't it? You're for sale. You're for sale, aren't you?
I work for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police.
Metropolitan Museum Police?
No, I work for
this
the
woman
Las
is
Vegas
confused.
Metropolitan Police Department.
Well, if I
and
I you
taped,
enough, wouldn't you come?
I have taped
you come
your,
and
I have
say
taped
that what
this.
I do is normal?
All right, now hold on.
No,
and that is an expert.
Absolutely not normal.
And
if I paid you enough, couldn't you sit as my witness and say that I am a normal man?
No,
I paid you enough.
I can't because I can't lie. I cannot perjure myself.
What do you call lying? If I said to you, Annette, if you came to my home and you looked at the pictures and I said, I've never laid a hand on these kids, I will follow them into the toilet area, but it's not because I want to see anything. It's
no,
just
I'm
I want
sorry.
To get a good
that
shot.
Is... That is abnormal.
Boy, that sounds,
and it is a
that really, it sounds weird.
It is pedophilic. I'm sorry.
Pedophilic?
Yeah.
What, you know, these are words, pedophilic. It sounds like the L.A. Pedophilic Orchestra. You know, it doesn't mean anything. What I'm trying to say
you
is
have,
something artistic.
I think, excuse me, my professional diagnosis, and it would have to be very quick, because you show every single symptom of being a pedophile. You are but one thin line from stepping over and harming a child. And I really hope, I'm sorry the Santa Monica police mishandled it. And since I still have connections in Santa Monica,
we don't know if it was the Santa Monica police. Was it, Art?
No, but I'm not going to say who, because I don't need her
busy body. If they pulled you out of a mile. Well, they need
well,
to
if,
keep...
All right.
I don't need her calling every cop station in L.A. bothering them at this time of night.
I'll do it when I get to work in the morning.
Oh, wait a minute. I find it very convenient that your husband and daughter are photographers. And now, what are you? Are you a doctor?
I have a master's. I'm a licensed social worker.
Okay, well, you can't diagnose.
Oh,
all
yes,
right,
I
so
can.
Right there. No, you can't.
Oh, yes, I
you
can.
You can't diagnose. Can you prescribe medicine?
Has nothing to do with medicine. I could recommend you see a doctor, yes.
but you cannot prescribe unless you can prescribe me drugs that can calm it down. And I think you know what I mean by it.
Yeah,
so
I do.
I want to ask this lady. Okay, I want to ask you a question.
So I would recommend you see a medical doctor and that you see a psychiatrist. Unless you want to really harm children and you want to be in jail.
I don't. No, I don't want to harm children. What I really want to do, what if I told you what I really want to do is sleep with you? You'd say no, and you should.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And you sleep with your
wife. You don't want me harming children, but you won't even let me sleep with you. I question this lady's motive still.
What are you talking about, man? This lady's calling up and talking about something serious.
Okay, and I'm saying, would she sleep with me? And she said no. So how can she lie?
Your wife? One question. Do you sleep with your wife? I mean, have sex.
She doesn't like me. She doesn't like me having the album in the bedroom.
She has every right to. That's a good judgment.
We have separate beds.
Ah.
But
that is classic. That is one of the classic.
Yeah.
It's a marriage of convenience,
Desi,
but it's not.
Desi and Lucy had separate beds. Desi and Lucy had separate beds. How do you feel about that? See?
Yeah, on television.
Yeah, no, not television. In real life. Don't. See, she thinks it's all funny. It's getting touched.
No, she doesn't. Phil Hendry. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing now?
Really good, thank you.
Doing much better?
Well,
looking good, man.
Thanks, man.
Looking good. Corey, are you doing anything new?
You also have to look for flat polyps as well.
Exactly.
Sometimes polyps protrude out. Like,
look, I mean, it's pretty clear from these interviews the guy's one taco short
he
of a
must
happy.
Be crazy. I mean, that's terrible to do something like that.
Carpet bagger, burn in hell.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And because of that, we take you places most talk radio. In fact, no other talk radio show takes you to. That's like the Star Trek open, man. Anyway, racially charged yard art angers a neighborhood near Chicago. Chicago, the city that Martin Luther King called the most segregated and hate-filled of any that he had ever visited. Coming up on our show tonight, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Our website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. If you go over there, you can see the show as we perform it every night on our live video feed. So if you're one of those people that says, well, I don't really know, what is this show about? Check out our video feed and you'll figure it out. And I got really an interesting email from someone the other day. They said that they had talked to a program director at a big station, and the guy said, well, our population is too transient, and so people will catch on. And I thought, boy, there's another idiot. There is another dummy managing the programming of a radio station. 877-876-PHIL. Black Barbie doll sold for less than white Barbie doll at Walmart store. The black Barbie doll is being sold for less than the white Barbie doll at the Walmart store. Now, there was a photo posted to a humor website that showed the black Barbie doll and the white Barbie doll and the two prices. Mattel's Ballerina Barbie and Ballerina Teresa. The dolls, which feature brown skin and dark hair, and other dolls, which are light-skinned, the light-skinned dolls are $5.93, and the dark-skinned dolls are $3. So you have the white Barbie doll and the black Barbie doll. The white Barbie doll is more expensive. Now, this has, in some people's minds, this has taken on a hue of race and racism. A Walmart spokesman who could not verify the exact store shown in the photo said that the price change on the Teresa doll was part of the chain's efforts to clear shelf space for its new spring inventory. The Teresa doll is the black doll. And the ballerina Barbie is the white one. To prepare for spring inventory, a number of items are marked for clearance, according to a spokeswoman for Walmart. Both are great dolls, said the spokeswoman, Melissa O'Brien. The red price sticker indicates that this particular doll was on a clearance when the photo was taken. Pricing like items differently is a part of inventory management in retailing. But critics are saying that Walmart should have been more sensitive in its pricing. Thelma Dye, who is the executive director of the Northside Center for Child Development, said the implication of the lowering of the price is that's devaluing the black doll, said Thelma, who never saw an opportunity to be a pain in the ass that she passed up. The Northside Center for Child Development is a Harlem, New York organization founded by pioneering psychologists and segregation researchers Kenneth Clark and Marnie Phipps Clark. 877-876-PHIL. As fate would have it, Ron Turner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory, and this is in Cloverland, Colorado, and Dr. Turner, an astronomer as well as a mathematician, and he's also an environmental scientist. We've had him on the program to talk about the environment. But this is far afield of what you're involved in, Doc.
Absolutely, Phil. I never would have seen it were not for the fact that I'm responsible for our newsletter that goes out in the afternoon here.
You have a newsletter that goes out to the scientists and to the researchers there at the observatory?
Well, there is an entire scientific complex here that not only encompasses the Mount Meadow Observatory, it also encompasses two other facilities, one of which is a satellite program that is associated with our SETI program in Puerto Rico. And then we, of course, have our genome project, which we do in conjunction with the university. So there's a number of different plants, and so our email goes between those three.
Now, when you say that you're responsible for the afternoon email, this story about a black Barbie doll and a white Barbie doll, did you put that into the email?
Yes, I did. Most of the information that we share in the afternoon is just scheduling information, special event information. If there's going to be a lecture series, if there is going to be an assembly of some kind, or if there is a paper that's being released, and a lot of it has to do with news from outside the campus where we work. I happen to include this one story, and I made the comment, Bill, that I felt this was an example of how race is still a major player in how our attitudes are formulated and how we deal with each other.
So you saw this black Barbie doll and white Barbie doll story in terms of race?
Well, I don't think there was any other way of looking at it. When I looked at it originally, I didn't think there was any other way of looking at it. It was in the words there of Ms. Dye from the Northside Center, it was devaluing of the black doll, which is a symbol of the black child. I sent that email out this afternoon at 3:31. At 3:46, I received a reply all email from a subordinate and assistant to one of my fellow researchers who made the comment that the black Barbie doll was going to be cheaper in price because there were not as many African-American customers, and so the doll would be in less of demand and it would be a cheaper doll. That came at 3:46.
All right, now, so you got a reply to the email that you sent out saying this is an example of racism.
That's correct, yes.
And this was from the subordinate?
Yes, this is an assistant. This is not one of my colleagues, an assistant to one of my colleagues. There wasn't any Dear Dr. Turner. There wasn't any salutation or appellation of respect. It was simply, the black Barbie doll is going to be less money because there are fewer black customers and therefore less of a demand. That was at 3:46.
All right.
At 3:49, I responded by saying, what makes you so smart? And I threw in something I'm not proud of now. I said, what makes you so smart? And I threw in a F-U.
Oh, boy.
Which was not the problem, but I was angry. I then received a reply all email began coming in throughout the afternoon from people saying he's right. The Barbie doll would be worth less because there's less of a demand. I responded to those as they came in, hitting reply all, by saying that I did not appreciate being ridiculed in front of my colleagues, and I did not appreciate being ridiculed by a subordinate who doesn't have the education. It really got to be, and for me, the afternoon film was an example of the bigotry that still exists in this world. And so next week we're going to have a couple of sessions with our fellow researchers here, many of whom are black, by the way, and apologize to those who did get this email.
But hold on for just a second, Dr. Tarner. Did that not make any sense to you?
It made plenty of sense to me, but that they would ridicule me for taking a strong stand against racism, I think showed insensitivity to racism, or insensitivity to people who would take a strong stand against racism.
And are you still at work, by the way?
I am, so yeah.
Because I think I can still hear some of the dynamos going and things like that.
Well, we're just in the outer, we're actually not at anywhere near the work area or any of the pivots where our telescopes are, but I wanted to say that because there is a very negative drive toward making the racist look as if he's intelligent. Look at this yard art in Chicago.
Yeah, but Dr. Tarner, the subordinate, and I understand what you mean about being disrespected by a subordinate.
Well, it was a reply all, and it didn't have "Dear Dr. Tarner." It said, "Did you ever stop to consider that a black Barbie doll would be worth less because there's less demand?" And I looked at this, and I rubbed my eyes, almost like I took my glasses off and rubbed my eyes. I said, "Who does this guy think he is?" You know, and I emailed him back. I said, "Who do you think you are? F you." And that's when I got these.
Well, maybe you just made him angry, you know.
Well, he may be angry.
All right. Do you understand now, and I have to say I agree, do you understand that if a doll or any product is in less demand than another product, it's going to be more cheaply priced?
I don't know that that's the case. No, I don't know that that's the case.
Well, isn't that what all of your colleagues kind of agreed on that?
Well, because all of my colleagues agree on something, it doesn't make it right. I've dealt with this for a long time, especially, I told you, with the Stephen Hawking. I agree, Phil. I agree that it makes sense that a product that is not in high demand is going to cost less money.
So that people... the black Barbie doll would be priced less, not because they're devaluing black people, but because it doesn't have the demand for it that a white Barbie doll may have.
I understand all of that. I am upset that I was made to look the way I was made to look in front of all of my colleagues by someone who has a associate arts degree from a junior college. They don't have a four-year degree. They're an intern. And then my colleagues, my fellow researchers, sending me emails to the effect, why do you have to turn everything into race? Well, I don't turn everything into race.
But at the end, you said this was an example of racial insensitivity.
Yes, I think it was, because they decided that they would turn me into an example of how stupid some people are when it comes to race. I think that's racist. As I explained to you before the program.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, Dr. Ron Tarner with us. The black Barbie doll is priced less than the white Barbie doll. Why? Because there's less demand for the black Barbie doll. But he thought it was priced less because it was racist. And he still thinks it's racist for them to point out, I don't know. We'll talk to Dr. Tarner when we get back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Phil, Dr. Ron Tarner joining us from Mountain Meadow Observatory. In this newsletter that you sent out mentioning these black Barbie dolls and white Barbie dolls for sale at Walmart, you said that the reason why the black Barbie doll was sold for less was because it was being devalued.
Well, you know, Phil, it doesn't matter what yes, that's what I said, but that a subordinate of Dr. Dan Peel, who, you don't know the name Dan Peel, I know the name Dan Peel. Dan Peel was a doctor that I was working with on a couple of projects we were both working at that time for NASA. He is arrogant. He doesn't share his notes. He doesn't share his research. I don't like him at all. And when I came to work here at Mount Meadow, I found out that he was working here too. And on top of that, one of his research assistants was here as well, a young man who had an Associate of Arts degree from Boulder, Colorado, and in my opinion is not the brightest bulb on the tree. Now I find out that he sent an email saying, well, Dr. Tarner, and he didn't even use my name, the black Barbie doll is worth less because there isn't as high a demand. And this was done in front of some 300 professional colleagues and fellow researchers by this subordinate, this assistant, this laboratory intern. And that's when I went to HR.
All right. Now, you went to Human Resources there at Mountain Meadow and filed a complaint.
I did.
And what was the complaint?
Well, to get the paperwork, I basically said that I was now working in a hostile work environment.
Now, why would you say you're working in a hostile work environment? Because this kid disagreed with you?
Because I had sent out an email saying, here is an example of the blatant racism in America, that a research assistant would come back and say, no, it isn't, it is attacking not only by standing here at the observatory, it is almost a fondling, if you will, Phil. We hear an awful lot about sexual harassment. It's a fondling of my pride or a rape or a violation of my pride for a research assistant, which means that, you know, in my business, that's almost like being retarded, to say that...
Oh, look, not to interrupt you or anything, but Dr. Tarner, you're saying that this research assistant corrected you.
Well, it wasn't about being corrected, though.
Well, but he did. You said that the black Barbie doll being cheaper than a white Barbie doll was an example of racism. He said, no, it's because it's just... It's.
So I understand all of his machination and all of his reasoning behind how there's less demand. What I don't like is someone who is considered in my field to be functionally retarded correcting me.
Why do you consider a research assistant or an intern to be functionally retarded?
They do not. Well, I don't understand your question.
Why would you say that about them?
They don't have PhDs. They're not doctors. They're not researchers. They have no four-year education. They're simply interns.
All right, but didn't this guy say what this guy said, that the Barbie doll, this wasn't racism. It was just that there's less demand for a black Barbie doll, and so therefore it would be worth less. Didn't that make sense, and wouldn't you agree with that?
It's not about that. It's not about that at all.
It's not about that at all.
No, it is not.
But don't you agree, though, that what that kid said is right?
I'm not going to go there.
You can't even give him that much, because that's why he said what he said.
Well, he said what he said because he works for this guy, Teal, who hates my guts. And I'm sure that this research assistant was well-versed in how much he hates my guts and decided that he had an opportunity to embarrass me. And that's what he did.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. And this is really a topic that has very little to do with what you do, Dr. Tarner, which is astronomy and environmental science, but the black Barbie doll and the white Barbie doll at a Walmart store, the black doll being priced at less money, you saw as racist. And you said so in this general emailer, and you got a reply all from one of the research assistants saying, no, the black Barbie doll is worth less because the black Barbie doll is in less demand. You don't even want to give this guy the benefit of knowing he's right.
You know something, the more you talk about him being right or wrong, it doesn't make any difference to me anymore whether he's right or wrong. I think he's wrong.
You disagree with his thinking.
I don't disagree with his thinking. I disagree with him. I disagree with him hitting reply all, knowing that his response was going to go to the inbox of every one of my colleagues, and he had his little moment in the sun making me look like an ass. That's what I'm talking about.
So you're just angry at him because he made you look like an ass in front of all of your colleagues?
I think that was his intent, yes.
Well, for the record, I have to tell you, I agree with him.
It doesn't matter to me.
Well, I have to agree with him. It makes perfect sense to me. The black Barbie doll is going to be worth less because there's less of a demand for a black Barbie doll. The white Barbie doll is going to be worth more because there's more of a demand. It isn't racism.
It doesn't matter to me what you think.
Well, it isn't racism.
And I don't think you can make an absolute statement like that. I say it is racism.
No, you can't say that it's racism having accepted this guy's explanation.
I am saying that it's racism because I will not bring myself to agree with the research assistant of a guy whose guts I've hated since college.
Well, then that just turns out to be a very childish and petty little argument between the two of you.
That's your opinion, Mr. Henry. But I don't like him, I don't like his research assistant, and I have filed a complaint with Human Resources to the effect that I have been intellectually raped.
All right, 8-7, intellectually raped, huh?
You know what, Phil, you don't have to go, intellectually raped, huh? Is this boring to you?
No, it's not boring. I have you on the program for a reason, but I find that your recalcitrant manner in accepting this explanation is a little childish. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back at a world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Turner on the black Barbie doll and the white Barbie doll. The black Barbie doll, it's worth less. Why? There's less of a demand because there are fewer black people. We'll be back.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL, our website philhenryshow.com. Ron Turner joining us, Dr. Ron Turner from Mount Meadow Observatory in Clovedale, Colorado, a part of a lot of things going on there, Dr. Turner, from part of the SETI program, the genome program, which I think is fascinating. I want to talk to you about that because I would love to have that work done on me. I'd love to see my family or at least my DNA traced.
Well, we're always everyone is interested, at least in the research field of looking at their own personal genome project. But we're not going to have genome projects done. We're not going to have any astronomy done. We're not going to have any further expansion of the SETI program until there's a little bit of respect and there is a little bit of integrity that's exhibited here. That when I send out an email and I say that a black Barbie doll and a white Barbie doll selling for different prices is an example of the endemic racism of America, that I don't have an associate arts functionally retarded intern working for Donald Teal.
I know that you feel you've been disrespected. I don't mean to glance over that, Dr. Turner. I know that when they sent this email,
Well, I was disrespected in front of hundreds of people when he said, no, it's, you know, do you, and he didn't even, it was almost as if he said, hey, you. Now, I don't know how to say this, but if there is one thing that I never, ever want to hear from anyone, that I've earned my titles, to be referred to as hey you. And when someone that we consider around here to be a nose picker, a functionally retarded nose picker, says hey you, here's why the black Barbie doll is worth less, that's what I went to HR.
You went to, and you're saying that you were sexually...
No, I wasn't sexually anything. I said that my intellect was raped.
Well, you're using a sexual harassment type of complaint, I think, is what I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Scott in Boston. Scott, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? Hey,
fine.
You know, I just got one point to make here. You know, what makes you any better than anybody else on this planet or your the research assistant? Because of a PhD? I'm sorry.
Where I work, yes, I'm better than him. And he doesn't send out a reply all email telling me I'm wrong about something.
But you were wrong.
If I'm going to be wrong about something, I'm not going to have some community college guy tell me that I'm wrong.
Okay, so you're telling me that basically there's no way on this earth that you could be wrong on anything at all.
I could be wrong, but I'm not going to have a community college guy tell me that I'm wrong.
What's wrong with that? See, that's the thing that we don't understand.
How about this one? I'm a truck driver, and I'm telling you that you're wrong. Okay?
Wrong about what? What am I wrong about?
What, you're wrong?
You're making
it into a racist issue by, you know, it's because they're black or white or whatever the case may be.
You see that it's a black Barbie doll and a white Barbie doll, right? And you're telling me that's not racism? That the black Barbie doll selling for less?
You admitted, Dr. Turner, that the research assistant saying the black Barbie doll is going to sell for less because it's in less demand made sense.
It made sense at the wrong time. No, but it made sense at the wrong time. It made sense in front of 300 of my colleagues where he basically came up and pulled my pants down. Now, you know, boy, you guys don't get that, huh?
What do you say? Came up and pulled your pants down. What does that mean?
I mean, a guy with an associate arts degree walks up to me with a PhD and pantses me. That's embarrassing.
Okay,
It
would have been okay if it was an equal, someone with another PhD that would have turned around and sent you the email saying that it was because of the demand. That would have been okay to you.
I don't know. I had a perfectly good. Are you telling me there's no racism in America? Because I know that there is.
That's got nothing to do with this, man. You said we're talking about the black Barbie doll, and the white Barbie doll. Okay.
But you guys are saying there's no racism. You're saying everything is we all hold hands and it's we are the world around here. Is that it?
Oh no, I'll tell you right now, I'm not a racist. But yes, I do have my issues with people. I'll be perfectly honest.
All right. So that's what I'm saying. And you two guys are telling me the black Barbie doll hasn't been devalued as a human being. It's not a human, but it's a doll. But by dropping the price of the black Barbie doll, you're not basically saying, look at that ghetto whore. You're not saying that?
Ghetto whore?
Let's just put it this way. You know, several years ago or, you know, however long it was, When they first came out with this black Barbie doll, they turned around and came out with it because of the demand. People had turned around and said, listen, you know, they have a black child. They want a black Barbie doll. You know, great and done. The company turned around and made them. When they turned around and made them, guess what? People didn't buy them. So now here they are with millions of them sitting on a shelf in a warehouse.
And the reason why they didn't buy them is because they didn't want some street-walking whore for their daughter to play with.
And what does that mean, man?
That's what I'm trying to tell both of you idiots.
You know what, Dr. Turner? I'm going to cut you off right there. This gentleman may be a truck driver. I may be a lowly talk show host. We're not idiots, and I don't want to be called an idiot.
Well, you'll forgive me, but I'm a very educated man, and when I talk to two men that don't even have any formal education...
I didn't go to college, all right?
Yeah, I know you didn't go to college. Did the truck driver?
I do have an associate's degree. So, but you have to admit, I don't have my PhD, so I'm not equivalent to you.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Some guy with an associate's degree laying it down for me.
I live in the real world. You live in
I do too, sir.
If you want to talk about
black
racism,
Barbie doll,
you're being racist. You're an outright racist.
Sir, lowering the price of that black Barbie doll was like saying Get your behind down to the corner because your papa's got to get some sleep tonight.
Oh, you know what? You know, you have decided. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. You have decided that this is going to be about race, even if the logic dictates that it isn't.
So you say that I'm being stubborn.
Yeah, a little bit being stubborn. And you don't want to take any advice from that guy. He's got an Associate of Arts degree. You don't want to listen to me because I got no college degree. And you simply want to say, yes, it is. It's about race, even though the guy proved to me that it wasn't.
Well, Phil, when you put yourself in my shoes, being a doctor, having been published in a variety of journals, and having a guy with an Associate Arts degree who rides a motor scooter to work, and you know the kind, rides a motor scooter to work and takes off the big bell helmet, like he can even go fast enough on that thing to cause any kind of brain damage, comes into the laboratory, looks over the doctor's shoulder, and even hacks into his email to see if there's anything interesting there, and decides that he's going to respond to it in that smart-ass way that they will.
Are you accusing this guy of hacking the doctor's email?
No, he didn't, but I wish he had.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to Sean. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, Phil. I don't know who you are or what your program is about. I just happened to hear this thing.
Yes, sir.
This is absurd. A couple of quick points. One.
Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor, sir? Are you a doctor?
No, actually, I am a retired captain from a local fire department. I would be the guy who didn't have a degree that was coming to save your behind in case the house was on fire, and if the man didn't want that to happen.
All right, but are you going to have a discussion? But are you going to have a discussion with me about the?
I'm going to have a discussion
social,
about common
the racism
sense, sir,
of the doll.
No. Listen, if you are respectful and an educated man, you will stop and listen when someone else, and give the courtesy to someone when they're trying to say something.
I understand
something.
That, sir, but you've got to make sense. You have to make
I'm
sense
going to
at
make
a level
perfect
that
sense.
I'm going to respect.
I'm going to make perfect sense if you'd shut up for a second. One,
I
if I was your,
to
if
be
I
at
was
level
your,
that I respect.
If
will you
I
let
was
the man
your
finish?
Employer,
see,
I would terminate you immediately. You'd go from
that's
the employment line
level.
To the unemployment line because, my friend, you are an embarrassment to yourself. If your so-called colleague
the observatory,
listen,
you don't fire astronomers.
Well,
you don't fire astronomers like they work at a cafeteria line.
Will you let the man finish, please?
If you're the hopeless astronomer, we're all in trouble. But listen, this is the thing.
What?
You called that young man a retarded individual at least four times while I've been waiting.
Functionally retarded,
I would get an attorney and I would sue you for defamation because this is being broadcast across the country.
I didn't mention his name. Oh, God.
I know.
I didn't mention his name.
Defamation.
So you can't sue.
You can't sue
if you didn't mention the guy's name. That's what I'm trying to say.
Would you let the man finish?
This bed is functionally retarded.
Will you, if you do that again, I'll put you on hold.
Phil, I'd pull a plug on him, but listen to this. I will tell you this.
Look at him telling you what to do. Look at him telling you what to do.
Hey, you. Does that make you mad? Listen to this one.
If I was that kid,
I would get a copy of this tape. And I would send it to everyone in that email list because no matter how much of a person you think that this guy made you an ass, you're making yourself a bigger ass. You should change your PhD to ASS, buddy, because you just don't have a clue.
You've called me a lot of names, but you don't have any reasons to call me a lot of names. Number one,
I did
you
not
can't
call
sue
you a name. I said you were
you
acting like an ass.
You called me a lot of dirty, filthy names that we can't repeat.
What did I call you?
But,
no, he did not. No, he didn't.
What did I call you?
He called me an A blank blank hole. And then he went on to say
that. No, he did not. He did not say that.
Well, I thought I heard that.
Well, you didn't.
Well, yes.
And then
yes,
the other thing, he said the guy could sue me. I didn't mention
I
the guy's
he could.
Name, so he can't sue me. No, he can't sue me because I didn't mention his name.
Well,
so he blew it there.
Better
so
yet,
he blew it there.
You
number
should
two,
find out who this guy is, give him a tape of this show, and let him send it to all of this guy's colleagues. And he won't have to worry about work anymore.
Mr. Henry, if you want to be sued, you go ahead and sue. I'll sue you, Mr. Henry, if you do that.
Why? Why? If I know who this guy is, I can send him tapes.
Truly,
if you do, I'll sue you till you bleed from every hole.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Is that
that's a
right?
Challenge, Phil.
Wow. Let me tell you something, Dr. Tonner. I could send this tape to him, and he's going to. You're going to sue me for what?
just what the genius here said, defamation.
No, that's not defaming you. This is a broadcast tape.
That's
you're on the air willingly.
All across the country.
Exactly. And you're giving your name out.
I don't think I've said my name.
Oh, get out of here. You know that you're on the air. I've said your name. And
yeah, you've said my name. I could sue you.
Well, what are you, anonymous here?
Lord.
Good
this
Lord.
Guy, you are a piece of work, Dan.
I'm talking about something. I'm talking about a black Barbie doll that was
no,
made
you're not.
To feel.
No, you're not. You're talking about a fact that a kid who's younger
whore.
Than you called you out on something and embarrassed you.
Right.
Get over it,
right.
Dude.
And the kid not only did that, but the kid made perfect sense in saying, you know, it is. It's demand. It's supply and demand.
This
right.
black Barbie
guess what
doll
else,
was
too,
made
Bill?
To feel
that
like
kid
a streetwalker.
Is an intern, just like that guy was an intern at one time or another. So he's actually calling himself
I was
a functional
intern.
Retard
never.
Because at some point or another in his career, he was an intern.
No, back when I was an intern, we weren't functionally
retarded. We
do our stuff. We would do our stuff. And I'll tell you something else, you know. That black Barbie doll was made to feel like a streetwalking whore by
man,
lowering the
look,
price.
It's a doll, man. It can't feel
it's
anything.
It's not even about the Barbie doll no more. It's about a guy that you don't like who's got a kid who's working for him, a kid who I would promote this guy like you wouldn't believe. And,
I never gave out Jim Nichols' name, and I would not give out.
Oh, you just gave his name out right there.
I did not.
You gave out his name right there.
What was it?
I'm not going to repeat it.
Oops.
What an idiot. Now you can get sued.
He doesn't have the guts.
I think you just dropped the ball there, buddy.
He doesn't have the guts. He doesn't have the guts to sue me. And with all due respect, a fireman,
I survived Hurricane Katrina.
Cats out of trees. We're not on the same planet. You get cats out of trees, I look at the moon.
Listen to you. Listen to this, buddy. I survived the biggest natural disaster to hit the continental United States in the history of mankind. I was in
what?
The heart of Katrina, and I'll
what's
tell
your last
you what,
name?
You're lucky you're
you
not
to be
talking
a smart
about
ass?
Me, because I'd sue you to the heavens, buddy. Actually,
talking
I wouldn't
you.
Sue you.
You said you survived
I
Katrina.
Was your boss,
I don't know who she is.
It's a hurricane that was in... Oh,
Katrina.
Man.
You don't know what
you're talking about some broad. Yeah, you're talking about some broad you know.
It's okay. It was a hurricane in New Orleans. All right. All right.
Oh my
thank
God.
You. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Phil Hendry.
That's a hurricane?
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. On this show, we take you behind and through and over and under the so-called talk radio format. All right, go ahead and ask me the question. I want to get to some phone calls here. We have Dr. Ron Tarter with us, who was in the midst of a debate with colleagues on the racism of a black Barbie doll and a white Barbie doll until one of your colleagues' assistants said, no, the black Barbie doll is priced less because it simply is in less demand. You feel it's a result of racism.
Right. And let me ask you something, Phil. As a way of proving it, you know Glenn Beck, right?
I know Glenn Beck, yeah.
All right. Do me a favor. Why don't you call him up tomorrow and ask him to quit being a racist, fascist, Nazi bum that he is? Why don't you do that?
Because I'm not going to do that, because it's insulting.
Oh, okay. So, you see, it's insulting for you.
No, it's insulting to him to just, put together a string of insults.
It's insulting to him to be called a racist bum, even though you know that's what he is?
I don't know that's what he is. And because you are convinced that this black Barbie doll... And what do you mean the black Barbie doll's been disrespected? It's a doll.
I misspoke. I'm saying that when you look at a black Barbie doll that's priced less than a white Barbie doll, you see it as a cheap whore. That's what I was saying. You see the doll as a cheap whore. You don't have respect for it. But not because you want to sleep with it. Huh.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, don't give me that, Phil. Don't give me that, hey, the doctor's crazy stuff.
No, you, Dr. Turner past that threshold. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Pat. Go ahead, Pat. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Turner.
Yes, sir. My understanding with this gentleman that from the astronomy place is that he won't listen to anyone because they don't have an education and a high IQ. Well, I do. So it's a little difficult for him to say he's not going to listen.
That remains to be seen, doesn't it? Doesn't that remain to be seen?
I doubt he'll listen to me either because apparently he has
Pat, this is Dr. Turner. I'm just saying, Amy Bishop had a degree, and she shot up a bunch of professors at Alabama. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make? Why did you just forget about it?
But apparently your gentleman keeps insulting every other caller because he says they have no education and that they're not equivalent to him.
I'm an astronomer at Mount Meta, and I said that a black Barbie doll was priceless because of the racism of America, and a guy with an Associate of Arts degree disagreed with me. You understand?
I understand that, yes, there's racism in America.
Okay,
nobody's
going to
deny that. There's also racism in Europe. There's also racism in Africa. So I doubt you'll ever totally eliminate it. What I'm saying to you, sir, is you have identified enough information about yourself and about this gentleman that you're saying you felt raped you in a form. He has a legal suit against you, and I would be happy to send him the name of an attorney to file on his behalf.
You want to get me an attorney?
No, she wants to get the other guy an attorney.
I was intellectually raped. Did you want to help this guy?
Because you are incorrect, sir. You are totally incorrect. You don't want to hear anything anyone has to say. You claim you won't listen to anyone else on this show because they don't have a high enough education. Well, sir, I'm equivalent to you, and I do have a high enough education, and therefore, you're wrong.
Did you go to the University of DeVry?
Everyone, the rest of us, are correct. And this young man, you have identified your employer. I am assuring you are going to be outside of a job after this show because you have made an embarrassment of that entire facility.
Ma'am, I have reported this man to HR for fondling my pride. Now, that's a sexual assault.
Fondling your pride?
That's exactly correct, yes, sir. And I can assure this young lady that when he put his hands all over my pride and probed it...
All right, anyway, thank you very much, Pat, for your call. 877... Yeah, exactly. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, wait, what was he going to say? He was going to give me your phone number.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What he has said, which plays very well on the Arabs.
Understand that in this recession that began at the beginning of 2007.
I can't afford to keep just giving money away. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman.
Part of communicating is listening. You talk and you hear.
We want to vote for somebody with a name like Barack Hussein Obama.
You blow it!
Well, welcome, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night, 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and going live tonight at 10 in Los Angeles, in our hometown, at KTLK, AM 1150, live here in the 10 o'clock hour on the West Coast. For those of you, it is 1 a.m. out east, and all across our country, very happy you joined us. This is the only news, talk, and entertainment show that really knows what it's talking about. We sort of step through the looking glass here of talk radio each and every night. And again, tonight. So, in the news, among a great many things, a new study that says many children hear voices. And we'll take your calls at 877-876-PHIL. In a moment, we'll be talking about this Carol Shea Porter story. We have a gentleman who is filing a lawsuit on behalf of the women of this country, specifically the women in positions of representation in this country, to sort of back up what she's saying. I want to tell you that our website, www.philhendryshow.com, is a great place to go to get live streaming audio of the show as well as a live streaming video feed of the show. You can watch the show right now if you'd like. If you'd rather not look at me, you can certainly listen to the show there. And you can get a list of all of our affiliates as well as an archive of incredible stuff going back many years, including video archives, television shows we've done, TV pilots we've done, radio shows, you name it, man, it's there at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL is the number. So the story here, as we've got it from our news sources, and you guys might have heard a little bit about it, but to tell you the truth, it might be a little bit under the radar. I don't know that people, they might have heard what she said, but they didn't actually hear the audio. They might have heard that she had said this or that, but didn't really hear the audio of what Miss Porter said. So her name is Carol Shea Porter. She's a Democratic congresswoman, and she said the men should be sent home so that they could get something done, the women of Congress, both Republican and Democrat, when it comes to the health care bill. Here are her comments, and they may be a little difficult to hear, but we'll pop these things up and roll some of the low end off so you can hear. This is in an impromptu meeting, I'm imagining, between herself and other supporters.
We are incredibly disrespectful. Incredibly disrespectful. We go to the ladies' room, the Republican women and the Democratic women, and we just roll our eyes at what's being said out there. And a Republican woman said when we were fighting over the health care bill, if we sent the men home, we could get this done.
All right, here she is talking further. She says women are especially qualified to work out the differences in health care reform.
But I am telling you the truth that every single woman there has been responsible for taking care of her mother, her husband's mother, her children, her sister's children, her brother's children. And so we think we could find a common ground there. You see it in Maine. There's two women senators there, and they work very well because there are issues that we believe in being collaborative on.
So there were comments made following Congresswoman Porter's statements about the men ought to be sent home. Saying that her statements were insensitive to men and they were sexist and, you know, a lot of the stuff that you might imagine would be said after something as quite as pointed as that. Stephen Bozell is from Corona, California. He's by trade a construction contractor, but he has either filed or you're planning a lawsuit, sir, on behalf of female representatives as well as women in this country. I'm trying you're trying to make it mandatory for schools to have some sort of appreciation courses for women?
Yeah, this is not on behalf of representatives.
Then the lawsuit changed.
We'd considered filing a lawsuit to make it a majority vote on whether or not men could be involved in legislating certain issues that women have far more experience on at the federal level, but we thought that would probably be a non-starter, so I went ahead and called my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, told her that I was much more comfortable with this.
This is essentially to have mandatory female appreciation courses in middle schools.
That is correct, yes.
And now why middle schools?
Well, because of my daughter, who, you know, I had spoken to her sixth grade class. I had received a phone call from Karen Nister on Saturday that she wanted me to come down, and the class wanted to talk to me.
This is Karen Nister, is the sixth grade teacher of your daughter?
That's correct.
And your daughter's name is what?
April.
Your daughter is April, and she goes to sixth grade. Where is that, sir?
That is Corona Casey Middle School, Corona, California.
Now, why were you called up by this teacher?
I had made a statement on Friday to the effect that I felt the health care plan was wasteful, that it was a plan that would bankrupt the country, that it was a plan that was financially not sound. My daughter, April, who attends Corona Casey Middle School, went to school that day and spoke with her teacher in a rather candid series of conversations about what I had said. And I want you to know that I'm grateful for that because I was called by Ms. Nister on Saturday. She said that I was to, she would want me to come down to the school on Monday, and at that time I would go in front of my daughter's class where they could further ask me questions about what I'd said.
All right, so you, Steve, if you don't mind me interrupting you.
Well, there's a little bit more to the story.
No, I know, but I'm trying to you had expressed the opinion you were against the health care plan.
I was completely against it. And I also had said that I felt that it was a waste of time and everything. And that's when my daughter went to school that day. I'd said these things at breakfast, and my daughter went to school that day. And in a series of conversations she had, not only with Ms. Mister, but she also had a lunchtime meeting with the school principal, Daniel Goodwood.
Mr. Goodwood, is that his name?
That is right.
Okay.
That I had made these statements, and I had also said that this woman, Carol Shea Porter, didn't know what she was talking about.
All right, so you spoke disparagingly. So you're called by the school to come down and talk to the kids in the sixth grade class.
Well, not to talk to them, but to hear their grievances. The kids, Ms. Nister's kids in sixth grade, did direct questions at me. And I recognize now that my understanding of how much more, I guess, much better suited women are to make these decisions. I did not know that on Friday. A young boy by the name of Bradley Targan, who is a very smart young boy, told me that I was a sexist pig.
Now, how old is this kid?
He's 11, and I understand that he's very...
That's pretty young to be calling you a sexist pig.
No, I understand that, but I allowed that because he was right. After we had talked for 20 minutes, I realized that I was wrong, that I never should have said things against the health care plan, that I should have at least checked it out with the women in my family, and certainly could have asked my own daughter, who immediately, I think, she was hurt. And,
do you think that's why your daughter went to school and reported this to Ms. Nister, because she felt that you didn't understand her or the health care plan? Or
I think my daughter felt that I was being unfair to women and the health care plan. Because I told her, I said, I don't think this woman, Shea Porter, I don't think she could, you know, excuse, and I used a crude reference.
What did you say?
I said, I don't think she could blow a candle out with a fart. And my daughter was hurt and went to school and reported it.
So you went to the school today?
I went down there today.
To talk to the kids?
Yeah, and
Now, you have changed your opinion as the result of having this meeting with the kids?
Well, again, it wasn't so much a meeting as I was told to report to the school, and I did. My daughter was very direct in her questions toward me. Ms. Mister was very direct. This young boy, Bradley, there was another girl named Monica, another girl named Deanna. Most of the girls were, you know, very clear. They felt that I was they used the word pig more than once.
Did the teacher say anything?
Well, the teacher told them to tone it down, but the kids are very upset that I would not be in favor of the health care plan. Now, I want to say one thing, Mr. Hendry. I asked Ms. Nister, I said, did you tell these children how to feel on the health care plan? And she said, no, I didn't. And so these are children in a class who just happen to think the health care plan is good. They think that Carol Shea Porter's comments about men not being involved in it was good. And it was an eye-opener for me.
All right, now, before we're going to take a break, but you told me that the students, as well as the teacher, have given you some work to do.
Well, they have asked me to read. There's two books they wanted me to read, which is the Little Women, obviously, and by Louisa May Alcott, and A Female Eunuch by Germaine Greer. They're putting on a play at the end of the year, The Vagina Monologue, they want me to be involved in helping them with.
The Vagina Monologues, and what is this, a middle school?
Yes, sir, it's a middle school, but you got to understand the children are growing up. We cannot allow our own parochial and old views to get in the way of our children, you know, making the commentaries that they need to make. We have to realize that sometimes our kids and their teachers can set us straight and how wrong we are, as men and as people.
And so you feel that you needed to be set straight on the health care proposal, as well as this comment by Carol Shea Porter that men are not needed in the debate?
I didn't know it. I didn't know
it. You didn't know it at the time, but when they called you to the school...
When I called, they called me down to the school, and they got me in front of the class,
And I said, I'd like to, and the teacher said to me, Mr. Bozell, if you don't mind, if you could just, and she was very direct. She said, if you could just shut up and stand there, because we got some things, you know, we got some things to tell you. So you best just, shut your mouth. She didn't say it like that. She said, shut your mouth, but she said it in a friendly way. And so
she told you to shut your mouth and stand there.
She didn't say the way you just said it.
All right. So, Mr. Bozell, you've gone from being not believing in the health care plan to believing in the health care plan. You went from believing that men had a place in the debate. Today, you don't.
I don't think men have any place in the health care debate at all. And that was made very clear to me by this young boy, Bradley, who was the first one to say, you know, I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell, I don't mean to be rude, but you are a pig. You're a pig.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That's a wild one, man. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who spoke to his daughter's sixth grade class today and was basically called on the carpet by the kids and the teacher for expressing views contrary to the health care view. The health care plan is now in favor of it and is also in favor of Carol Shea Porter's view that maybe the men ought to be just excused from this debate. 877-876-PHIL is the number here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range open in Massachusetts.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Over the weekend, Carol Shea Porter, who is a congresswoman, made the statement that the health care bill and many of these disputes in Congress would best be solved if they just sent the men home. The men are the ones who are basically screwing everything up. And the fact is, she said that the congressional Democratic and Republican women are rolling their eyes. They get it. They can work together. They don't need the men. Joining us is Mr. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, who agreed with this point of view up until today, right, Mr. Bozell?
I would say that's true up until today. I mean, as of last Friday, I had pretty much opposed the idea that men could not be involved in the health care debate. To me, that was ridiculous. But when I was called to the school, as I was today at 10:30 a.m., when I was told to be in front of Ms. Dister's class at 10:30 a.m., their class had assembled at 10, but they had a couple of project reports they had to do. So I waited outside.
Well, when were you told to get there, at 10?
I was told to be there at 10, yeah.
But they didn't talk to you until 10:30?
They did not have me into the classroom until 10:30, yeah. But they wanted to make sure I was there.
Let me ask you a question here, sir, before we go to some phone calls. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Why did you feel compelled? Don't you feel as if you're being ordered around?
In what sense?
You're being told by this teacher to report to the school. The kids want to talk to you. At one point, the kids called you a pig.
They didn't call me a pig. They called me a sexist pig in a way that I would understand. We don't mean any offense, Mr. Bozell, but you are a swine. You know, they said you're a swine because your belief system is swine-like. It's pig-like. But you, I'm sure, you know, you're April's dad, and they know April. And April is one of the leading students. And she took the lead in setting me straight, I guess.
Your own daughter, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ty in Nashville. Ty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on with Stephen Bozell.
I just cannot believe what I'm hearing. I actually thought that when first listening to this, this was a joke. First off, if his logic is straightforward, we need to just go up and replace all the congressmen with a bunch of 11-year-olds and let them run the country. It's time for him to grow up, first off,
First of all, you want to misunderstand what I'm saying. That's your business, but don't tell everybody what I'm saying. You know, I could see that your comments are a joke. You're saying have 11-year-olds run the country. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, but sometimes my daughter, you know, Jesus said out of the mouths of babes, and my daughter's
right,
class.
Sir. You should be a father at home and listen to your daughter at all times.
Exactly.
But you have to be a leader in your home, a leader in his home, dictates what goes on in his home, and he lays
and
the
do.
Values, the morals,
and
the
I
ethics
do.
Down for his children, and he doesn't
and
let his 11-year-old daughter tell him what those values and morals should be.
But my daughter was right, and I was wrong. Let me ask you, are you going to say to your daughter, you're wrong, I'm right, even if she's right and you're wrong? I don't think so. And that's what I had to do.
If it goes against my morals and my values and my ethics, I will do it to the death.
Even if you're wrong. Even if you're wrong. Well, that's real smart.
If it goes against my morals, values, and ethics. Now, first
even
second
if you're
off,
wrong.
I'm from
Tennessee. And the other thing is, this kid Bradley, you should have met this kid. If I took your lawsuit to a court, they would laugh me out of the court.
I would be
knocked
out and thrown out on my ear. That just proves how screwed up the court system in California is.
First of all, you wouldn't file that in Tennessee because you wouldn't have the guts.
Because
I've
you couldn't
the
find
to
a
say,
judge that would be stupid enough to hear the case.
You wouldn't find a judge that was smart enough to understand the argument.
Hold on, guys. The argument here is basically, Steve, you're saying you felt your daughter's argument had merit. That's one thing. But when they order you to come down to the school...
They told me to report. Let me ask this guy. You would report if your kid's teacher said to report to the school? Of course you would.
I might report, and I would report to the office, but I'll be doggone if I'm going to stand there and let a liberal teacher and a bunch of 11-year-olds scold me like I'm a child.
Well, if you needed it, what are you supposed to do? If you were wrong, of course
sir,
you would.
There is another circumstance where you need to be scolded by a bunch of 11-year-olds.
What was this Bradley kid?
If you had a set of gonads underneath you, you would have known that.
No, no. You don't understand that there is a time when we're just wrong. Now, this young boy, Bradley, he called me a swine. And I said to him, I don't like that word. He said, you don't understand. I don't just want to disrespect you, but your views are almost like those of a pig. And you are a pig.
Yeah,
this kid's calling you a pig.
I think what
this
kid's wrong is you decided at one point to become a father.
That I decided to become a father at one point?
That's where you went wrong because you don't understand what that definition means, apparently, on leading, guiding, and directing your children instead of letting them dictate your life.
But you need to open your mind up. And you need to understand our teachers are in a better position to tell us the facts, the truth of the important issues facing us today.
That's what I want to do is let a bunch of liberal, bleeding heart teachers dictate what my children hear.
Well, this boy Bradley, if he was talking to you, he'd probably think you were pig-like too.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
If that guy's still here, I'd like to talk to him about
it. No, he's gone, okay.
Phil Henry.
What a ass.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue our discussion here of the comments by Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter that the men in Congress should be just sent home, that the women can solve these problems, and that in point of fact, both Republican and Democratic women would come together in a much, much better way to solve these problems. We have a man on the line with us, Mr. Stephen Bozell, who's going to be filing a lawsuit trying to get women's studies into middle schools. This is the result of you changing your opinion about health care and about the role of women in politics from Friday until today, Mr. Bozell. And it's a fascinating thing because this was all about your daughter going to school and reporting. what you said at breakfast?
No, she didn't report. You're trying to turn this into something. She did go to her teacher, and she said, my father has said some things that disturbed me, and I want my daughter to. If I've done anything, wouldn't you want your daughter to say something to someone if you did, you know, touched on her?
What are you talking about, man?
I mean, if you violated your daughter.
No, whoa, brother. We're not talking about violating. You're talking about an opinion.
Well, yeah, but she felt it was bad. And
well, can't she say something to you?
We discussed it, but at one point she just threw her. She was doing her hair and she was braiding her hair, and I was talking to her and I was saying, you got to understand, you know, that the health care is going to bankrupt the country, and she just blew me off and went to school and reported me. I can tell you...
Your own daughter blew you off and went to school and reported you. Now you get a phone call from this other teacher, this Mister, right?
Yes, sir. And I said to her, why are you calling me to the school? And she said, because my daughter had said to her, and I was nervous, and I tried to explain to the teacher, and she blew me off, too. She basically said, talk to the hand about it and hung up on me. And
boy, I'll tell you something, man, you don't have a very good relationship with the teacher at this school. And so you go there and these kids stand there. As you stand there, the kids call you a pig and say that you are...
No, they did not, Mr. Henry. I misspoke.
Well, you said at least one of these kids called you a sexist pig and that you didn't understand the health care argument.
And the bottom line is they were right. The bottom line is they were right. And that's what I came away from so desperately wanting to tell you and your audience. You don't understand. You don't understand.
Well, sir, if you truly feel in your heart that you are a sexist pig and that the health care reform bill is a good bill, but we're talking on your behalf here because of what it sounds like abuse.
No, it wasn't abuse. I mean, I needed to hear the things these kids were saying. My daughter was right in going not only to her teacher but to the school administration and saying that my father has, I think she used the word violated me, but only with, mentally violated me. And I think that is a good place to start, because then you can go to the school and say my father hasn't violated me, but he mentally probed me, and I'm worried.
Mentally probed you? What? Is this language that is acceptable at this school?
Sir, let me tell you.
No, I wanted to know, is this language that this Miss Nister uses?
Ms. Nister had referred to that, but I'm talking more to David Goodwood, who is the headmaster at the school, who said, he said there's no problem, but he said he wanted to nip it in the bud.
All right, let's go to Ed in Pensacola. Ed, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell. Our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL. Speaking at Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, on talking to his daughter's middle school class. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher and administrator also, and I taught for 26 years in Fairfax County, the 10th largest school district in the United States. And what I'm hearing, first of all, most of it, I can't really believe, because in my years of experience as administrator and teacher, no student, no teacher, and no administrator would ever allow that kind of talk to a parent. There's no respect there whatsoever. And for a man say that they called him and told him to report, any adult would say, Mr. So-and-so, we may have issues to discuss. Are you free at such and such a time? This is not a court. A school can't order you to come to a place at a certain time. And for him to allow kids 11 years old or 20 years old to call him a pig, it just amazes me. I think the real problem is the gentleman, not the school, not the student. Mm. Because 11-year-olds, I don't care how much they've been, quote, taught, they don't have all the answers any more than anybody else in this. We all get our answers by what we hear and what we try to understand. And a teacher does not have an inside track on any of this government information any more than anybody else.
I'll tell him in a minute.
Steve, did you want to comment?
My daughter just passed me a note. If I could read it, times have changed. This guy is out of touch with kids and teachers. And where's Fairfax County? That's my daughter.
Well, I don't really want to talk.
First of all, I just retired a few years ago, and Fairfax County is considered one of the top districts internationally. It's on the cutting edge. So if you don't know Fairfax County, I'm not the one that's out of touch. Fairfax County is outside of the D.C. area, and it is considered the cutting edge. So again, that just goes to show that your daughter doesn't have all the knowledge and information to deal with on an adult level.
She just passed me another note, Mr. Hendry. I don't know.
I would rather notes from your daughter. You know.
The note says, "What is his being a teacher in Fairfax County got to do with the price and the price of tea?"
Okay, that's all I want to hear from you.
It has a lot to do with it. It has a lot to do with I'm bringing experience, almost 30 years of experience teaching every level from kindergarten up through junior high school. It has experience as an administrator, and I'm telling you that if you allow yourself to be treated like that, and if you come from a school district that can call you and tell you to report, then there is something wrong, something very wrong. And I quite honestly, I don't believe
you don't want me to. You don't want me to read any notes from my daughter?
No, I don't.
Because she's questioning this man's credentials.
Well, I'm not interested in what your daughter has to say. I want you to respond.
My daughter's waving her arms.
What? Mr. Bozell, you're talking to two adult men here. You're an adult. Your daughter is how old?
She's 11. She's waving her arms. She's saying, I can't go. What? She doesn't want me to keep talking until she's cleared it.
I'm sorry. This gentleman has a real problem. He doesn't respect himself as an adult, an intelligent mind, and he's being manipulated and jerked around by kids. And quite honestly, I think a lot of what he says is not true. I'm speaking again from experience, and no school, no teacher, no administrator would call and tell you to report, and no school, no teacher, no administrator would allow students to call a parent a pig.
Were you called a pig, Mr. Bozell? I want to know, yes or no.
The kids said that I was a pig, but they were laughing about it. And so, Mr. said the same thing.
So the teacher called you a pig?
She said that there was a time when someone like me would be called a swine. And
how did that make you feel?
I felt bad, but the kids were laughing and pointing at me. I don't know. This one boy, Bradley, experienced.
What happened to basic respect? How can you discuss an issue when there's no respect going on there at all? That's not a
fish, you know. And that was all that he said, you know. But I can't ask that, honey.
All right, no more notes from your daughter.
Well, my daughter wanted to know if you're straight, and I don't know if that's.
No, don't answer that question at all, Ed. Don't answer that question at all, Ed.
I'm a married man with two grown children. What does that have to do with it?
My daughter wanted to know if you'd ever touched a kid.
Okay, see, that right there is the kind of fascism that school of yours that this kid's going to has pushed your daughter into.
What do you mean fascism?
I think the guy's a wacko. I just can't believe that any school would be doing what he's saying. I think you have some real serious.
Sir, you've got it all wrong. My daughter's school is a great school, and they talked to me and made me see.
You call a great school a place where they call you a pig and tell you to report at a certain time, like this is some kind of a Nazi or a fascist regime?
A great school
is based on respect and teaching people respect of each other and to listen to each other's different opinions and to discuss it in a respectful way. So if they don't do that...
I have more respect now for Karen Nister than I didn't have any respect for her.
And who's Karen Nister?
She's the teacher.
So you got more respect for her, huh?
I do appreciate her more, yeah.
All right, listen, thank you very much, Ed, for your call. Let's take another phone call. Ken in Arkansas. Ken, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Sir, I haven't heard. Hello?
Yes, sir. It's Stephen Bozell.
You're on the air, Ken. It's Phil Hendry.
I haven't heard the whole program. I just caught part of this a while ago. Man, what in the hell is wrong with you? What the hell is
wrong? I love my daughter. I love my daughter having a good education, and I don't want to.
You love
to be
your
disrespectful
daughter
to women.
Love your daughter,
be,
man.
Yes, sir.
Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
That's got nothing to do with
Jesus?
It. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The Christian,
oh,
you see, you got to understand, Christian, it's not going
to
save the health care plan.
To do with it.
And the Christians are not going to make the water safe for the for crustaceans. So what are you talking about?
Whoa. You guys are talking. You guys are talking.
What is his name? Bozell? What's his name?
My name's Stephen Bozell.
Bozell.
Yeah, and maybe you can get a sentence out today. That'd really help. If you can get your thought out sometime this week, that'd be great.
Okay, let's not be smart-ass about it.
I'm waiting for this guy to make a point. It's been, like, going on,
Mr. Bozell. Mr. Bozell, are you the Christian head of your household? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Maybe.
That's not what he asked.
Oh, there ain't no maybe, Mr. Bozell. It's yes or no. You're either Christian.
You say that word head. You really enjoy that, don't you?
All right. We have to take a break here, and I don't know, Ken, if you wanted to ask him any more questions here.
This guy's asked me about Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about having respect about the health care plan and about how you're going to respect women, and that's got nothing to do with Christianity.
Okay. All right. 877-8, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back with Steve Bozell. God.
Said the word head.
Never mind about how he said that. Let's get some answers to some questions here, all right? You're called down there by the Khmer Rouge Council of your daughter's Corona KC Middle School. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, back here, 877-876-PHIL, as we speak with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, but he's also a man who he's a man who has a daughter in a middle school in Corona, and this class of kids, along with a teacher, had called him in to talk about his opinion on health care and his opinions regarding Carol Shea Porter. Now, did these kids mention Carol Shea Porter? She's the Democratic congresswoman who said that women would be far better off dealing with this. Tell the men to go home.
Well, the kids had written a song for Congresswoman Porter that they sent to her on a MP3, and basically it was a song of praise to her, to her strength in the face of, and you don't want me to say, but in the face of the pig.
And in the face of the pig, meaning the man?
Sir, I'm not going to get into a discussion. I'm just telling you, you asked me a question about the Carol Shea Porter, and I said the kids did send a song that they had recorded in praise of her, and they had told me about it, and said to me, so you understand where we are with Carol Shea Porter, we are very much in support of her, and so that's why we want to talk to you. And I said, I understand that. And they said,
look, I know this is emotional for you.
And they said, did you say that you were opposed to health care? And I said, yeah. And they said, do you know the numbers of pigs like yourself? And they were laughing about it. And
who is saying this?
This kid Bradley and this girl Deanna, my daughter. And the other kids were joining in who are opposed to this down through the years. And I said, yeah. I said, but I'm still opposed to it. And that's when Miss Mister stepped in and said, you know, we're not calling you a pig, but you act like a pig when you...
And so, Mr. Bozell, you came out of this meeting with these 11-year-old kids newly convinced that health care reform is correct.
you don't understand. It wasn't because the kids had said, had threatened me or anything, although, you know, they said certain things can happen if you're not, that they weren't threatening me.
Certain things can happen what?
It's just that they were saying, you got to get on board because this healthcare thing has been turned into, like you're picking up just a handful of wet fecal matter. And I said, you know, that was a big thing.
Let me get to a phone call here. 877, because I don't know if you're talking to the kids or whether you're talking to the teacher. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Tim. Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir. We are on with Stephen Bozell.
Mr. Bozell, you have no communication with your children. I don't know how many children you got, but, I mean...
I've got the girl, too.
I mean, she's young. I mean, why couldn't you... You know, I understand if you have done something wrong, apologize. That's good. But you don't have to go to the school and apologize to the school. That's ridiculous, man. I mean,
well,
it's wrong.
They had said to me that my views on health care were very pig. You know, they said I was a pig, and... I said, well, let me go down and talk to my daughter and the other students, and they basically kept me waiting for a half hour, because that's the technique, you know, when I went
in. I mean, why didn't you just tell your daughter, hey, I'm sorry, I done you wrong? I mean, why wouldn't your daughter just say, you know, I accept your apology and be done with it?
I did, but my daughter said it was too late.
I mean, I could understand her going to the school if you... touched her in the wrong way, or you cussed
exactly.
her out, or something
no,
like that. But I mean, you did you cuss her out? Or
no, sir. I said I felt that Carol Shea Porter's comments about the men going home were wrong, and I said the health care right now is not good.
And she goes to the school and reports this, and then you got to go before the...
I apologized to my daughter, but she said, it's too late, Daddy. It's just too late. And she shook her head and got on the bus.
It's too late for what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you apologize. Why would you have to go to the school and go to all the rest of the kids? You didn't say anything to them.
No, I didn't.
I mean,
but
you know, it's crazy, man.
Apologize to your children, and you know,
I've done my kids wrong. And
I wouldn't apologize to have for having an opinion.
I apologize, boys. I didn't mean to do that. That was an accident. I'm sorry.
I begged my daughter, but she said, it's too late. Too late. And, you know, and she quoted a line because we'd seen the movie. She said, get him into his clothes, we'll set him adrift. And that was just her way of saying, you better get to school.
What does that mean, get him into his clothes?
Man, there's no way you should have went. You should have told the people at the school, if you want to talk to me, you come to my house. I'm not coming to school for you guys to make fun of me. Call you a pig? That's ridiculous, man.
They said I couldn't keep the headmaster waiting.
The little boy that called you a pig, his parents are unreal,
right.
Man.
That little kid.
Like
I'm sorry.
That kid made his hind end.
You don't understand.
Bradley's
a very exceptional boy. He's got a very high IQ. He's going to go to Oxford, and he's only, you know, like 11. He's going to Oxford at the age of 11.
Yeah, but that's not.
Oh,
that's
big
not
deal. Big deal.
My kid.
Exactly.
Man, my kid my oldest daughter, my daughter is 17 right now.
Too late.
And my boy.
Yeah, my daughter just kept saying it's too late.
If they talk to people, if they call one of my, anybody,
that's an adult,
I would smack them in the mouth and say, you don't talk
to people
like that.
She called.
You have respect for your elders.
The paper authority.
I'm 50 years old, and I don't talk to older people than me like that.
No. I'll call myself a pig sometimes to myself. I say, boy, are you ever a pig when you did that? You know, the way you did that to your wife.
A child?
All right, okay, thank you. Stephen, thank you, and thank you, sir, for your call. Stephen Bozell, we'll see how the lawsuit goes, as he was called before his daughter's class on health care. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil, and learn more at Talk Radio.